Frederick Douglass once said, "It's easier to build strong children than to repair broken men." That's something the former slave-turned-abolitionist knew something about. It's never surprising that recidivism rates for adult prison systems remain so high, with little change from year to year. But repairing broken men and women is exactly what prison is in the business of doing. We've had plenty of ideas to reduce recidivism, reduce crime, and reduce the prison population, but so many proposals tend to focus on one goal while ignoring others. For instance, focusing on crime reduction without any attention to the expansive prison population or vice versa. Few ideas have proven to significantly move the needle. But today, we'll dive into one idea, a three-in-one idea, to reduce recidivism, reduce crime, and reduce the prison population. The last time on the podcast, we heard a fascinating recounting of the life and legacy of Professor Mark Kleiman, one of those once-in-a-lifetime public policy figures who was especially influential on policy and practice here at the Pennsylvania Department of Corrections. Today, we're going to dig deeper into one of his most influential ideas, a proposal for improving community corrections, specifically probation and parole supervision. The approach is often called swift, certain, and fair supervision. While Mark popularized this approach and figured out how to make it relevant to policy and practice, he wasn't the first to discover the principles behind it. In one sense, the principles behind SCF supervision are among the oldest in criminal justice. If you're a coach, a parent, a trainer, or a teacher, listen closely. You'll recognize some of these principles. Stay with us as we explore SCF supervision, the principles behind it, its research and results, and how our department has used it. We'll also see if these basic principles might be expanded to other areas of corrections. Hello, I'm Ryan Tarkowski, and this is Pracademically Speaking, a conversation where ideas and numbers get real. We're at the headquarters of the Pennsylvania Department of Corrections once again, and here with me today is Dr. Brett Buckland. Brett is the director of the Bureau of Planning, Research, and Statistics at the Pennsylvania Department of Corrections. Hey, glad you could join us today, Dr. Buckland. On the last episode, we spoke with you about the personal and professional life of Professor Mark Kleiman. He was obviously hugely influential on the field in many ways and to you personally. Today, I want to turn to perhaps his most influential idea, what has often been referred to as swift, certain, and fair supervision. First question, what is the problem that Mark was attempting to solve in outlining his proposal called SCF supervision?
Well, the basic problem that Mark was trying to solve was something that we talked about on the last episode when we talked about his legacy, and that is how to solve the problem of both high crime rates and high incarceration rates. And he would quickly point out that comparatively to other countries, our violent crime rates remain high, but also our incarceration rates remain quite high. We're a world leader in that. And so at the very basic level, that was the problem that Mark was trying to address with SCF supervision. Now, he also looked at recidivism outcomes for corrections and saw that they were very high. And that bothered him, that just so many people were cycling in and out of prison, that recidivism rates were quite high. And he also believed that there was a way to make the principles of deterring bad behavior, of deterrence, work in practice. So really what he wanted to do was improve community corrections, and community corrections I use as a broad term. We use community corrections here to refer to as community correction centers. That's one part of community corrections, but it also includes parole supervision at the county level, probation supervision. So he wanted to improve community supervision and find ways to reduce recidivism without relying heavily on just putting people in prison for response to bad behavior. He saw parole supervision as what he called randomized draconianism, which means that, you know, frequently people got away with things, but occasionally we throw the book at them. So very frequently we kind of give them a warning and give them a free pass, so to speak. But then occasionally we get mad at them and we're throwing them away for a significant period of time. He thought that was kind of crazy.
And it's kind of left to discretion too, right?
Right. Yeah, it's broad discretion across different decision makers, whether they're parole agents or and he would look at our data and see, for instance, you know, the most frequent sanction that we have for a parole violation is a written warning, which, you know, doesn't carry probably much weight. But the second most frequent one is incarceration, typically historically for 6 months or longer. So it's jumping from like basically like a slap on the wrist to 6 months or more in prison. And Mark's like, well, what's in between there? And
not even a slap on the wrist. A written one that's like a piece of paper. Down the line, you'll get a slap on
the
wrist.
Right, like here's a piece of paper and don't do that again. So that was the basic problem that Mark was attempting to solve in SCF supervision.
So I guess the first step in solving a problem is always identifying the problem. Then we have that. What exactly is SCF supervision and how does it work?
Yeah. I think I mentioned this on the last episode too, but in some ways, Mark, you know, he would tell you himself, wasn't the first to come up with the principles behind it. They go back as far as criminology itself to Cesare Beccaria, 18th century criminologist. We all learned about him in our criminal justice class. He was one of the first criminologists, and he talked about three elements of an effective punishment or sanction for deterring bad behavior. He said the punishment has to be swift, it has to be certain, and it has to be severe. But what Cesare Beccaria also said is the swiftness and certainty matter much more than the severity for determining bad behavior. So Mark had these ideas in his head of how to make this work in practice, and then the light bulb moment for him was he came across Judge Stephen Aum in Hawaii, who was a really innovative and kind of big personality judge who tried this in practice under what he called the HOPE program, Hawaii Opportunity for Probation with Enforcement, implementing this kind of swift and certain response to probation violators. Judge Aum saw probationers, in his case, they were mostly like serious meth addicts. And they were coming back before him time and time again. He got tired of seeing them in his courthouse for parole violations or probation violations. And he's like, this is crazy. Like, we're doing the same thing over and over. And so he read, you know, Mark's work and implemented this HOPE program where basic idea is you set out the rules clearly. So Judge Aum would bring them into his courthouse. He would say, here are the four or five things that you absolutely have to abide by. You're going to be drug tested weekly. Randomly, you have to do this, this, and this. So it's very clear what the rules. There's no unclarity of what the rules are. And then he would have probation officers closely monitor them frequently. So routine random drug tests every week. And then consistently and immediately respond with each and every infraction. It didn't have to be harsh. It didn't have to be 6 months in prison. But it might be a night in jail, a couple nights in jail, but immediately response. So it was swift, it was certain or consistent, and it was fair because everyone knew the rules. It was a level playing field, and all the agents are operating on the same principles. So that, you know, that's from a basic outline how the swift, certain, fair supervision works.
What have been the results of SCS supervision when it's been tried, and also some of the challenges?
The results from the original Hawaii HOPE evaluation, which Mark conducted. So Judge Aum invited him in and they collaborated. He did a rigorous randomized controlled trial evaluation of the HOPE program were extraordinary. And it really caught national attention. That's why he wrote the book, When Brute Force Fails. That's why he got all of this media attention back at that time period in 2010, around that time. It showed about a 50% reduction in recidivism for these mostly seriously meth addicted offenders, which is phenomenal. I mean, there's no program typically that we find that has that kind of reduction. It had similar reductions in drug relapse for using drugs again. And it also cut the number of days in jail or prison, I think by half, if not more. So it accomplished its goal of having less recidivism, less crime, but also less time in jail. He went on to, others went on to replicate this. It caught on kind of quickly around the country. A half dozen or a dozen states started trying it. I know Washington State was an early adopter of pilot testing this approach. And then in South Dakota, I think it was a attorney general in South Dakota started Sobriety 24/7, which was a similar program for repeat drunk drivers. using those principles of swift and immediate responses. That evaluation proved to be very successful. So most of the evaluations, now there have been some challenges. You said, you know, what are the challenges? Implementing it so that it works locally to a specific jurisdiction is challenging. And there have been a couple evaluations with mixed results that aren't as, you know, we're not cutting recidivism everywhere in half, otherwise we'd be out of business. So it's not, you know, a panacea. It's not like the one size fits all type of approach. But overall, you know, very encouraging results where it's been tried.
We need to take a quick break, but when we come back, I'd like to bring it a little bit closer to home and ask you more specifically about its relevance to the Pennsylvania Department of Corrections and how Swift, Certain, and Fair has been used so far. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Pracademically Speaking, a production of the Pennsylvania Department of Corrections. Please share or cite any of the guests or content you hear on this podcast, but do not alter the audio in any way. Check for resources or publications mentioned in this episode in the show notes. Now, back to the host.
Welcome back. This is Ryan Tarkowski with Dr. Brett Buckland, Director of the Bureau of Planning, Research, and Statistics. We're discussing an approach to improving correctional outcomes called SCF supervision. So, Brett, welcome back. How has our department used SCF or the principles behind SCF?
We've used it in at least three specific contexts. The first one, early on after that introduction to Mark in 2010, was we attempted to try it with state parolees. Mark had tried it in Hawaii with the HOPE program with probationers. And for our listeners, probationers, at least in Pennsylvania, are usually, you know, they're lower level, you know, they're supervised in Pennsylvania, but at the county level, this is before prison generally. Parolees are, it's a tail end after prison supervision. And there was some thinking that it might not work for parolees, that they're a more serious population. And so we were the first, if not the first, one of the first to take Mark's SCF principles and want to test it with parolees. Now, we had some obstacles up front. We were separate from the parole board at the time, so we were trying to work through that and get a pilot test off the ground of it, and didn't end up doing that until much later when we got a grant application to try it in Pittsburgh with state parolees. And so we did a pilot test in Pittsburgh with among state parolees. And unfortunately, that was right before COVID, and COVID hit and killed that pilot test.
Like a lot of things.
Right. So it's really relevant because we're actually in the process all these years later of still getting a conclusive test amongst parolees. We're actually pilot testing it in Philadelphia as we speak right now. So that context still continues. That was our first group that we wanted to pilot test it for. The second group was in our state drug treatment program, SDTP, formerly called SIP, State Intermediate Punishment. This is a alternative sentence program for drug-involved offenders where they get intense treatment, they get some time off their what would be the normal sentence. And we implemented, we called it SIP HOPE. So we mixed the acronyms. It was SIP at the time. So SIP with a HOPE component, with the swift and certain supervision approach. And we had an external evaluator evaluate that. We had really good results from that. And that was really, really encouraging. And then the third context we tried it in was in prison when we were going through early RHU reforms. The thinking was we have to find a way to reduce the RHU population without jeopardizing violence in the facilities, because folks were concerned if we start letting people out of the RHU or early out of the RHU, the assault rates are going to go up in prison. And you think about the RHU, it's almost like a prison within a prison. And so the same principles could apply if you have prison as a community to monitoring with swift and certain responses to violations, and then just short, immediate kind of quick dip timeouts to the RHU or just cell confinement. And so SCI Somerset pilot tested that first. I probably had about six facilities pilot test it. That was another one that never quite made its way into policy, but we have a draft policy of it. We were about ready to actually put that right into our policy. So we have a draft policy of that, but we had good results from that. And that was in response to, you know, RHU reform. So those are at least three ways that and then it also made its way into both the Justice Reinvestment Prison Reform Bill, the first one under the Corbett administration and the second one under the Wolf administration, JRI, we call them JRI 1 and JRI 2. Both of those had programs built on Mark's Swift, Certain, and Fair. So the first one allowed county probation offices in Pennsylvania to use this approach. And the second one allowed us to do what we call quick dips. And that's kind of what we're pilot testing now, which is short time, brief timeouts rather than 6 months in prison for a parole violation, 3 to 6 months. Instead, it's just like a couple nights, three to five nights in prison.
Just a quick reset.
Yep.
Last question before we run out of time. What do you see as the future direction of Swift, Certain, and Fair within the department and the field more broadly?
Well, we're still very much testing whether we can make it work, for instance, among state parolees. That was an outstanding question. And so we're going to have to continue our research on that and see other to what other groups we can expand this to. It was primarily originally for drug-involved offenders, and it relied a lot on drug testing, random drug testing. But could it apply to violent offenders? Could it apply to sex offenders? Could it apply to other kind of more serious types of crimes? I think some of the outstanding questions, too, are how it works together with treatment programming. So this is a deterrence or sanctioning model. And some of the conflict in the field about this is they don't see, some don't see it compatible with treatment program counseling, that kind of approach. It's not incompatible in my view. I think it's interesting that both sides have kind of mischaracterized the approach. The kind of tough on crime side says it's too soft because it's only giving people a couple of days in jail rather than a longer time, so it's shortening their stay. And the kind of soft on crime approach would say, well, it's too tough because you're responding every time immediately. You're not giving them those written warnings. But again, this is what every coach and parent knows is like you don't if your kid misbehaves, you don't say, well, in 6 months there's a 50% probability I'll send you to your room. A good parent responds immediately with a short timeout to their room each and every time. And if you ignore that, then the child is going to learn that they can mostly get away with it. So it's not a tough on crime or a soft on crime approach. It's really a middle of the ground. And so I think selling that nationally, continuing the national funding sources for this program and continuing the research agenda to build the evidence, the further evidence to support it, is going to be the future of it.
Unfortunately, we're all out of time, so we'll have to leave it there. Brett, thank you so much for joining us again today. It was great speaking with you about your friend, Professor Mark Kleiman, and remembering his legacy and impact on public policy in corrections and criminal justice and the contributions to the Pennsylvania Department of Corrections. It's been especially great to hear more about the SCF supervision approach today. We'll catch you next time.
Thanks for listening. Check out Pracademically Speaking wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts. This is the conversation where ideas and numbers get real, on the ground and in practice. Pracademically Speaking is a production of the Pennsylvania Department of Corrections.